Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
In May of 2018, after many years of discussion and debate, the majority of voters elected to repeal the Eighth Amendment of the Constitution, and abortion services were legalised here in Ireland for the first time. Now, 3 years on, the act that underpins those services is due for review, and people will be invited to submit their contributions for consideration. As that review gets underway, Evelyn O'Rourke has been finding out more about the situation. Good morning, Evelyn.
Good morning, Claire.
So remind us firstly of the Act and why the review is taking place.
Well, Claire, the Act is officially called the Health Regulation of Termination of Pregnancy Act 2018. And it has that provision. It's not uncommon that there would be a review 3 years after the Act is enforced, carried out under the direction of the Minister of Health. And at this stage, the Department of Health has confirmed that the review is starting, that it's underway. And they told us that they anticipate it will take a three-part approach, focusing on service users, service providers, and there will be a public consultation. But there were no dates given as such, so we don't have a clear timeline yet on it. And technically, as the Act really only came into force in January 2019, they have until January 2022 to complete the work, but we haven't got those dates yet. So to find out more about the review and its significance at this stage, I met up with Dr. David Kenny, who's Assistant Professor of Law, who specialises in constitutional law in Trinity College, and he outlined the process to me.
So it would be pretty common practice with any significant new regulatory regime to put in a provision in the statute saying that a review would have to take place usually after 2 or 3 years. And so the 2018 Termination of Pregnancies Act includes this provision that no later than 3 years from the coming into force of the Act that the Minister should undertake a review, basically just to see how it's operating. And importantly, that doesn't affect the law's continued operation in force. The Minister may decide that changes are needed, he may not, but ultimately the Act continues in force unless and until we pass some act changing the law from what it is at the moment.
So this was expected?
Yes, I think even from the time the legislation was passed, people were looking forward to the idea that this review would take place to see what problems might emerge in the operation of the Act. There were some controversial provisions which some advocates on each side were unhappy with, things like a three-day waiting period, the process for fetal abnormalities being diagnosed. And I think that it was inevitable that we were going to have this review, and that at that point people would want to raise various issues with the way that the Act has operated.
So tell me then, how does the review operate? What can we expect over the coming months?
So there's no fixed process for a review like this. What's required under the Act is that the Minister carry out a review, and the Act doesn't say what that review has to entail. Generally speaking, what will happen is there'll be a public consultation, so people will be asked for their views on the Act, their experiences of it, and also usually the Department or the HSE would undertake some research to find out how the Act has worked in practice, both for users of the service and for clinicians. And then all that will feed into a report that the Minister will consider and potentially make recommendations to the Oireachtas for changes that might take place. We don't know exactly when that will happen. Again, there's no fixed process or fixed timeline, but that's roughly what we'd expect.
That's Dr. David Kenny from the School of Law, Trinity College, Dublin. So Evelyn, before we get into the different viewpoints that will likely feed into this review, just explain to us how the Act is working in practice and what we know about its implementation on the ground.
Mixed picture there, Claire, really. I mean, while abortion services here now are legal, doctors and medical practices such as maternity units and hospitals can choose not to offer terminations. And figures I obtained from the HSE confirm that 10 out of the 19 maternity hospitals offer termination of pregnancy services. And in terms of GPs, 398 GPs have signed contract services. This may include practices where there is more than one doctor involved, although not all doctors in the practice may offer it either. So talking to people, though, it seems that access can depend on geographical locations. One of the people I spoke to as well, Claire, is Dr. Mary Favier. Dr. Favier is a past president of the Irish College of GPs, a member of START, the GP Provider Group, and she told me that they are planning and will be engaging with this review of the Act, and she wants to draw attention to a number of areas in the review. And here she describes some of her concerns.
Termination of Pregnancy Act was a huge change in Irish medicine. The service since January 2019 is effectively a service of two halves. It has been very successful in the community general practice-based provision with a really effective service that meets the needs of women, and a service in the hospital where you have some champion heroic providers really trying to do their best, but in an under-resourced, under-supported service, and that really needs to change. We know that there is almost 400 GPs on the public contract provider list, and that more than that provide. this is a, you know, more than 10% of GPs, which was envisaged as what was needed to provide a service. The service is not complete in the sense that there are some patchy areas, and Sligo does not yet have a community GP provider. And that's thought largely to be because there is no hospital cover in that area of a hospital that provides abortion services. In the secondary care hospital services, we know that 10 of the 19 hospital services provide abortion care, which is unfortunately really not okay and needs to be improved. And we still have over 300 women who travel to the UK and elsewhere for abortions, and that's because the legislation is too restrictive. The timelines at 12 weeks are too severe and cut off, and the provisions under the fatal-fetal anomaly sections are very restrictive, and many women under that category still continue to travel in very difficult circumstances. And this has been compounded by COVID, with the fact that they now have to meet very strict travel restrictions in terms of COVID testing and quarantining on their return. Research studies are starting to be produced around all aspects of the abortion service. The UCD study around abortion stigma showed that 1 in 6 providers had experienced some form of harassment or difficulty, whether it was verbal or a physical presence at their provider's clinic or hospital. This has a significant impact on providers. Many of them very committed, but it has a chilling effect on other providers and needs to be stopped with the provision of safe access zones.
So that's Dr. Mary Favier. And you also spoke, Evelyn, to one of the politicians who's part of the Life and Dignity group. They've just released their own proposals for this review.
Yes, Claire, indeed. This is a pro-life group of politicians, and their proposed submissions covers a number of areas, really. And their first step is their call for immediate attention to be given to ensuring pain relief is administered to the unborn. And other areas they propose for the review include examining the state's pregnancy counselling services that they describe as offering no positive alternative to abortion. And they say that other aspects will arise over the coming months as they continue to work together to prepare a submission. So here Deputy Carol Nolan, co-chair of the Life and Dignity Group, outlines their position in more detail.
The Oireachtas Life and Dignity Group, which I co-chair with Deputy Peter Fitzpatrick, is a group that was set up last year, just before Christmas. And what we aim to do is discuss issues of concern and, of course, reach out and discuss these issues with other colleagues who may not share the same views in an atmosphere of respect and for diverse views that exist. In terms of the 3-year review on the abortion law, what we've done is, as a first step, we believe that immediate attention should be given to ensuring that pain relief is administered to unborn babies before late-term abortion. We know currently that no provision exists whatsoever in the abortion law obliging those performing late abortions to give pain relief. We will be coming together and discussing other matters of concern collectively. But at the moment, I could say to you that that would be our very top priority. We believe, you know, that that's a very reasonable ask.
The second one that I thought was interesting, you were talking about the state-run pregnancy counselling services, your concerns around those.
In terms of the counselling services, like, there are no other options given to women other than going for an abortion. And we believe that there needs to be more options made available to women. There are serious gaps there. We believe that there should be many, many options put forward, maybe to pursue adoption. And we know there's very few domestic adoptions in Ireland. And we believe it's certainly one option that could be put before women, and obviously it would be their choice.
In the proposal as well, you talk about strengthening freedom of conscience protections for healthcare workers. Again, would you maybe outline your concerns and your ideas around that?
Well, look, we know that not everybody is of the same view when it comes to a divisive issue like abortion. And medical professionals, you know, they need to have conscientious objection laws put in place, and where they don't want any hand, act or part in the process, they're entitled to exercise their conscience. So what we're asking for is some provision made for conscientious objection.
Deputy Carol Nolan there from the Life and Dignity Group. And another group that's focused on this is the Abortion Rights Campaign, Evelyn. They say they have concerns to raise in this review.
Yes, they say they want the law that was voted in put in action. And they are concerned about issues such as that geographic spread of providers. And they say the 12-week cut-off point is an unnecessary extra challenge for women. And they also want, Claire, that telemedicine should be retained, saying that consulting with doctors online has been very effective and helpful. And this, of course, was brought in initially due to COVID. But here, Joanne Neary from the Abortion Rights Campaign tells me more about their proposals for this review.
Firstly, we want the review that we were promised, a full external review of the Act. We want to keep telemedicine. That's really, really important. Telemedicine is working well for doctors and patients, and it has gone some way to mitigate some of the barriers that are there. So the 3-day wait is something else that needs to go. There's no health benefits to the 3-day wait. But what's very, very important is abortion still remains illegal in Ireland. What I mean by that is that this current legislation inherited some of what existed in the Eighth Amendment. So doctors that provide care outside the parameters of the current legislation potentially, you know, face a 14-year prison sentence. That really does have a chilling factor on the conscientious providers and the doctors that want to give care. So the current legislation will allow for abortion up to 12 weeks on request, okay? And after that, when there's a risk to life or health, or if there's a fetal diagnosis. Now, very often that can't be determined. No doctor wants to be the doctor who provides care outside the parameters of the current legislation. And so what we have now are very rigid interpretations of the current legislation. And that does come down to it still having a 14-year prison sentence kind of hanging over conscientious providers. So in our submission for the review, we will be calling for the full decriminalisation of abortion in Ireland. We need to keep the focus on the review, and the focus has to be, what are we looking at here? And how well is this law working? Where is it not working? And let's make the improvements that are needed.
That's Joanne Neary from the Abortion Rights Campaign. And finally, Evelyn, one of the issues people raise with you is this challenge for people who are given a diagnosis of a complex fetal abnormality. And sometimes that diagnosis comes after the 12-week cut-off point. So what happens then?
Well, Claire, under the terms of the Act, after 12 weeks, you can obtain a termination here under exceptional circumstances. And in the case we're talking about there, if a diagnosis is, in the words, likely to lead to the death of the fetus before or within 28 days of birth because of a problem with its development, you can qualify. But talking to people working in this area, getting a confirmed diagnosis that passes this level can be challenging. So if you decide to go ahead with a termination without that sign off, you'll need to travel. And there's a range of services you can avail of. And one of them is provided by a charity called Abortion Support Network, based in the UK. Mara Clark is the founder of this charity. She says that many women travelling from Ireland are still looking for their help in the UK. Women who, for various reasons, have missed that 12-week cut-off point here. And she believes that the review needs to take this experience, amongst others, into consideration. So here Mara Clark tells me more about her work with people travelling from Ireland.
Last month, we heard from 22 people resident in the Republic of Ireland.
And is there any common thread linking the people looking to travel?
Yeah, the majority of people are over or very close to the 12-week limit. So either they didn't know they were pregnant until after the 12 weeks, or they had a wanted pregnancy, which wound up being diagnosed with a fetal abnormality, or when people availed of services but had the misfortune to fall into the group of people that early medical abortion doesn't work for. But by the time they realized that they were still pregnant, they were over 12 weeks, they were told that if they wanted to finish the termination that they had started in Ireland, they had to travel abroad on their own dime.
What do people say to you about the situation here? Are they finding it easy to access information?
Even without COVID, first you have to find a provider. If the doctor's not pro-choice, when people are more than 12 weeks pregnant, there's not a lot of knowledge about what happens then. So there is what we call here in England, postcode lottery of services, you know, where if you happen to know about my options, or if you happen to have a pro-choice GP, you can have access to service. We also need to look out for the people who, in general, are marginalized. So people who fall outside the system anyway, and people who are homeless, migrants, refugees. Some of them have trouble accessing services. And I also think there needs to be clarity around abortion for fetal indication. And there's, you know, termination for medical reason. I find it so interesting that during the campaign, you heard all these stories of these couples who had to travel to England to have these terminations. And those are the people who are still having to travel the most.
That's Mara Clark there. Evelyn, thank you very much for bringing us that report. And coming up after the break, Fionn Davenport is taking us on holiday. And this time we're going to Ulster.
Today with Claiborne. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.